It's the question, where did God come from? He's always been. There's never been a time that was not God. Why? Because in the beginning, God created everything. So we'll go ahead and stand in reverence the reading of God's word. And we will read that very first verse in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the very first verse of your Bible. And then I'm going to present this to you the way that the Lord showed it unto me. I'm just going to hit three basic words that's going to show God in a way that he wants me to present him unto you tonight. And like I said, this is not systematic theology. I've got a book here on Bible doctrines that we could go through and show you some of the assumptions of the existence of God, the proofs of his existence, and some of the rationale that's given by different men and different methodology concerning God. How that he makes himself known to us through nature or through relativity or different ways. But I think that that's not what God's wanting us to do tonight. I'm just going to give it to you the way God gave it to me. I didn't take this from a book. It come from God. I didn't have any way to narrow it down and try to get you some type of an alliterated outline or anything. It's just going to be God tonight. That'd be all right. And we'll go with that. But the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Brother Justin, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. And there are several places we could go in the Bible, and I'm going to refer to a lot of them, but I just want to get you into the thought process that God has always been. There's never been a time that there was not God. There's nothing before God. There'll be nothing after God because it's God. It's just pure God. And we can see that in Hebrews chapter number 1, and we would look at 1 through 3, the Bible saying, God who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he hath made the worlds. So there again, you've got him making the worlds. So the person that would come to you and say, prove to me that there is a God. Brother Tim, you could rightly, and probably with good reason, turn right around and say, okay, but first you prove to me that there is not a God. That would be a good place to prove, because you see, for me to prove the existence of God, I would simply need nothing more than to take a newborn baby. And I could present that newborn baby, Brother Steve, and just say, let me present unto you God. You said that is God. That is a creation of God, that you could take a man and a woman and through an act of consummation, Brother Tim, bring a baby into the world with 10 fingers and toes and a little heart that's beating and lungs that work. And you take that little baby right out of an amniotic sac. Brother, for 9 months, that little baby has been floating in a little vast reservoir of water. And then all of a sudden, Brother Gwen, you birth that baby through the birth canal of life. And all of a sudden, that baby begins to breathe. And it's no longer breathing the amniotic fluid, but brother, it's taking in oxygen. Where'd that oxygen come from? But it's God, it's coming from the corn. It's coming from the trees. It's coming through the process of photosynthesis of the plants of the world, Brother Grant. And what do they need? They need what that baby's breeding out, and we need what them plants are putting out. And that whole thing is so fitly framed together. So whenever somebody says, prove to me that there is a God, I just point to the heavens. I'd point to a tree. I could hand them a little newborn baby. But that's the same way we are when we get saved. We are birthed through the birth canal of grace. And bless God, you take an old a drunkard or whatever you would call a prostitute that would sell her body into sin. Or you take some good, upright, moral person, Brother Larry, that's always lived by the golden rule, but they're just as lost as the drunk on the bar stool. And you birth them through that birth canal of grace. And then, Brother Grant, somebody said, where did God come from? Or you proved to me that there is a God. I just point to the drunk that no longer drinks. Bless God, he didn't go to detox. He didn't go anywhere to get dried out. He don't have on a patch. He didn't go through some 12-step maturation process to get out from under the bondage of the sin he was in. Brother Gwen, he come through the birth canal of grace. And because of that, then I can prove to you that there is a God by just saying, check him out. There he is. Look at the baby. Look at the flower. Look at the tree. Look at the world, because it's screaming that there is a God. I mean, I live in a house. My house had to have an architect. Somebody designed that. It had to have a builder. It did just go boom. Somebody cut down a tree and all them things playing themselves and joined themselves and everything just fitly framed together. There's my house sitting on the side. No, it took a plumber to get my plumbing in there. It took an electrician to wire it up. It took a designer to design it. And bless God, you can't look at something as vast as this universe is and say that it's not made by somebody. And bless God, that intelligent design is none other than God Almighty. So you might as well say, before I try my little weak way, put yourself on that plane. Get way down there with them. Say, before I try in my feeble little attempt to prove to you that there's a God, you prove to me that there's not one. I'll wait. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. You see, Brother Larry, for them to not prove that there's not a God, you know what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to go to the furthest end of the universe. Because you can see that furthest, you can see so far, but into the universe. You might get the Hubble telescope and look a little further, but they're going to have to go there. And not only are they going to have to go there, Brother Tim, but they're going to have to go to the depth of the deepest ocean. They're going to have to go to the highest peak of the highest mountain. And you know what? Brother, they've got to do all of that simultaneously, because if God was over there, he might have moved himself to down yonder. And you've got to prove to me that there's not a God. That's what you're trying to do. Prove to me there's not one. And then you've got to show me through some kind of a scientific analysis that some type, some way, some form, Darwin was right, and we've all come from some cell. But if we all come from some single cell, let me ask you this. Has there ever been a documented scientific proof that one genus or one species ever changed into another species? Have I got any science majors in here tonight? I got one or two back there in Calvin's family studying biology, right? Grandson, Miss Rudy. Never, 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 do you hear me? Never has it been documented by any scientific proof that one species became another species. Never happened. We've still got invertebrates. We've still got amphibians. We've still got primates. We've still got every class, every genus. Brother, how come something in the span of time, Ben, has not morphed into something else? If we come from this, to this, to this, to this, to this, to this, to the upright place that I'm standing now, what are we eventually going to become? This? Are we going to keep going from... I'm being serious. If we've come from a hunched over whatever to the upright through the Neanderthal, through the whatever, then you got the Mahaffeys. If you keep going, where are we eventually evolving to? What will you eventually become? What will man eventually become? Will we continue going and just go backward now to that, and then we'd be a hunched over, and somebody 10 million years from now going to dig us up and say, what happened to that one? That's foolish. It's foolish to you. It's foolish to me. Why? Because it's foolishness. But do you know where foolishness comes from? I heard a word over here. Atheism. You've got deism. You got pantheism. You got monotheism. You've got atheism. You got deism. You got all these different isms. Deist and deism believe that there was a God. He created it all, but then he took no control over it. He just made it. Okay. Then you got the atheist. And atheism says that there is no God. And the Bible teaches us what? That man, I didn't say it, the Bible did. The Bible said that the fool had said in his heart that there is no God. So if that's the truth, brother, then that's the birthplace of foolishness in these people that will try to convince you that we come from a single amoeba or a single-celled organism to what we are now. But that's hogwash. We were created in the likeness and image of a thrice holy God. Period. End of the story. For you to fully understand God, I've got to give you some names, because you won't understand him except that I tell you what who he is. So I'm just going to give you some. Then we're going to jump right into the message. This is the preface to this message. Now it's just a little cursory opening remark till I get to where we're going. Anybody ever heard of Elohim? We're going into the Hebraic words. We're going to be diving back into some words. You may have heard them. You may not have. But bless God, Elohim. Elohim is my creator. Bless God, and I'm glad we've got a creator. I was created in the likeness and the image of a holy God. And I am, you look at me, Brother Gwen, you're looking at a picture of God. Why? Because I'm one of his little children. Bless God, I have the right to cry, Abba Father. Why? Because he is my daddy. I've got an earthly father. And I thank God for Wayne Hall, who lives in Elk, North Carolina, 28621. But bless God, I've got one that lives in eternity. He's always been. He's the Alpha. Bless God, I've got one that lives into the eternity. He is the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's everywhere at all times. And we'll get into all that a little bit. Elohim, my creator. El Shaddai. What is El Shaddai? Who said that? What'd you say? He is the all-sufficient one, my supplier. He is El Shaddai. He is Elohim, he is El Shaddai. He is Adonai. Adonai meaning my master. Bless God, he is Emmanuel. And I know y'all know that one. Why? Because it's spelled out in your King James Bible. What is Emmanuel? He is God with us. And I could keep going, and I'm going to keep going. I just want to give you a few more and then dive into the message. He is Jehovah, my Lord and my sustainer. He is the all-sufficient one, as Mary Doris had brought in. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is Jehovah Nisi, my banner. He is my sanctification. He is Jehovah Raha, my shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He is Jehovah Sidkenu, my righteousness. And he is Jehovah Shema, my abiding presence. In other words, Brother Steve, he's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Listen, never argue his existence. Just tell the one that would question you to look around. That's all you got to do is say, just look around. Just look around. Is that a pretty fly arrangement? Did those things just jump in there? I'm being serious. Did they just jump in there? Somebody, they just jumped into that planter. Who put them in there? What do they call that person? A florist. What do florists do? They arrange flowers. So that flower arrangement was not some act of cataclysmic conversion. Boom, there they are. No, a florist put them in there. Just tell your naysayers. Tell your agnostics. Tell those that would question you to, I'm not going to argue with you. My Bible teacher means I'm supposed to put away foolish and unlearned questions that just gender strife. Just look around. Look around. I challenge you. Look around for a week. And then come back and let's have this conversation. But because I'm having a hard time proving to you that there's a God. First, you prove to me that there's not one. Then let us talk. I'm telling you what, you'll score points. Because when they start looking around, they're going to find out God's everywhere. So let's look at some of the attributes of God. And like I said, that person trying to prove his non-existence is going to have a hard time in doing it. So anyway, let's look into the scriptures tonight. And I want to help you tonight. I want you to see some of the qualities or attributes of Almighty God. And I'm going to start with the top. And I believe that if we don't have an all-powerful, in that word all-powerful, if you've got a copy of God's word, go to the book of the Revelation and we'll show you these words most of these words are mentioned in one way, shape, form, or fashion in your King James Bible. For those that are not, they're in there, maybe not in that word that we will use, but you'll see what I'm talking about whenever we get in here. Revelation chapter number 19, Revelation chapter number 19, the first word that I want to look at is omnipotent. Anybody know what the word omnipotent means? If you've got a Bible dictionary on your phone, I don't usually like phones out in the service, but hit on Merriam-Webster or Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary and look up the word omnipotent. Somebody could quickly tell me what it is. Brother Scott, what is omnipotent? He's all over it. Omnipotent means all powerful. Omnipotent means, it's just spelled out pretty much almighty, unlimited, without boundary, all authority, not restrained by space, distance, time, or matter. It goes back to what the gentleman said up here. He's not God if he's restrained or constrained by any of these other devices, time, space, or matter. In other words, he is, Brother Scott, all powerful. He is omnipotent. Brother Kenny, he has all power in heaven and in earth, bless God. That's what makes him God. He is God Almighty. You said, is that word in the Bible? Sure it is. Revelation 19. Y'all all right? Now, I told y'all I was going to slow down and teach, so that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to slow down and teach. Almighty, unlimited, without authority, with all authority, not limited by time, space, or matter, distance. He's almighty. He's all powerful. Revelation 19, verse number 6 said, and I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Mary Norris, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord God, what? Read that. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So you said, were you going to get that omnipotent and break it out for us to understand it? I don't know how much more you need to go back to than go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, that in the beginning God created it. Period. Brother, there's no sense in spending vast of trillions of dollars trying to figure out this and figure out that when God took just a few verses in the Bible to tell you what he did and how he did it. God made it. God made this. God made that. Bless God, he picked up a man from the dirt, formed him, and fashioned him into the likeness of his son. Bless God, there we are. And God took him and breathed into his breath, a nostril, the breath of life, and man become a living soul. Period. Took the first three chapters of our Bible telling us about these things and then spent the rest of the 66 books, brother, trying to redeem us back to him. Boy, we're a messed up group, aren't we? Ain't that something? That he would give us just a brief picture of creation and then the rest of us is about how fallen we are. Trying to bring us back to himself. Man, he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. I want to show you just a few verses of scripture really quickly about his omnipotence tonight. Genesis chapter number 1. It's screaming right off the pages of your Bible that God did it. I don't need to know how he did it. I don't need to know when he did it. You put aside all of your gap theories and this theory and that theory and all the other millions of theories out there because you know why? They're just theories. They're just theories. Jeremiah chapter number 32. And I'm trying to slow down, really. I don't do well teaching. Y'all know that. I'm not a teacher. I'm a preacher. Jeremiah chapter number 32. Is that in the Old Testament, Brother Chris, or is that in the New Testament? I can't even find Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32. And verse number 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? If anything is too hard for him, then he's not God. Did the Bible not tell us in the New Testament writing that with him, what's that? What kind of things? All things are possible. What did the psalmist, Paul write unto the church at Philippi in chapter number 4, verse number 13? He said that I, being Paul, can do what? All things. Through who? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth, and he gives that power unto us, the sons of God, then Brother Tim, I believe, just like Paul said it to Timothy, the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? Because he has all power in heaven and earth. Jeremiah chapter 32, 27 said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the collective answer and reasoning from all of us tonight would be no. There's nothing too hard for an all holy, almighty, thrice holy God because he has all power. Because he is, as the scripture said, omnipotent. It's a big word, but I like it. Kind of rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? Omnipotent. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28 tonight, and we'll look at verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, what? No, y'all are not there yet. I'll wait for you. Matthew chapter number 28. Verse number 18. You need to see these words. You're going to write down three words. For those, I see your pens out, write these three words down. You go home and research them for yourself. I see pens everywhere writing. I didn't know some of y'all could write. Miss Ann, I didn't know they talked that back then. But anyway, listen to me. Write down three words. Omnipotent. Did you help her with her spelling? I know you were good in science, so help her. Omniscient. Omniscient. Who was that? Dot? Help, Gene. And then omnipresent. Omni, O-M-N-I, present, P-R-E-S-E-N-T. Omniscient is O-M. Let me look in here. You said, yeah, you didn't know it either, did you? No, not until I wrote it down. O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T, omniscient. Those are your three words. This is what God gave me, okay? You said you go now, we're going through systematic theology. No, I just want to give you a glimpse of who he is. Brother Gwen, aren't you glad you know him?
Yes, sir.
You see, I can tell you who he is. And I can tell you some of his attributes and some of his qualities. I can't even scratch the surface of his love if I start telling you about that. But what I'm going to do is give you just a few of his attributes and then let you work out that fear and trembling thing on your own. Let you work out that salvation thing with yourself. And I don't mean work it out. I mean what the Bible says, work it out. Come to your own conclusion. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18 said, and Jesus came, and Jesus is God. Have we got anybody here tonight that does not understand that Jesus is God? We got anybody here that denies that Jesus is God? If we've got anybody here tonight that is a God denying that Jesus Christ presented himself as God, we've already got a problem. He presented himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three are one. They agree as one. They are one. You said, explain that to me, preacher. That's a very hard concept to teach or to preach. But I can tell you that H2O is three equally complete components. They all are the exact same thing. H2O being two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, but that comes in three different solids, three different matters. You've got a gas that you can't see, but man, you've been feeling it here lately. Why? Because the humidity's been up and I can feel it. My clothes are getting wet already. What's that from? That's from the humidity and from the perspiration that comes in. And if I leave it alone, it'll disappear. You know why? Because it will begin that evaporative process. It'll evaporate and it becomes a gas. But you come up here and pour me a glass of water. You can take that liquid and drop me in about five ice cubes, which is a solid. It's all the exact same thing. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are identical. They agree as one. They are one. Jesus is God. He is the God-man. We'll get into that when we go through the doctrine of Christology or the study of Christ. Go ye therefore, all power. That's the verse I was after. Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is omnipotent. What's the next we're going to hit? We'll go ahead and get omnipresent. Do you realize that there's nowhere that you can go that there's not a God? Do you realize that when Job, in his disobedience, and on his way to Tarshish, when he went down to the Joppa, bought the fare that paid the fare of the, entered a ship going toward toward Tarshish. And then the sea got boisterous against him. And like I said, the lot come up and it fell on him. He's heads for me, tossed me overboard, tossed him out into the midst of the sea. God prepared a whale. I did say a whale. You said the Bible said a great fish. Read the book of the New Testament writing. Jesus said as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, then so shall the Son of Man be. It was a whale. Okay, let's just settle that real quick. You said, but the Bible said in the Old Testament it was a great fish. A great big fish that resembled a whale. He identified as a whale that day. I know a lot of you people are identifying as different things, but that fish identified as a whale. But do you realize, Brother Gary, that out of the belly of that thing in the depth of the sea, there was a young man by the name of Jonah. And he is in the middle of the seaweed wrapped around his head. He's not just in there, Brother Kenny. He's in up to his eyeballs in seaweed and anything else that that whale had been eating. He is in the midst of the bowels of a whale. And he cried out. And you know what? He found out God was there. Amen. You said, you mean God is in the belly of a fish? That's what the book said. He said, out of the belly of hell made I my cry. He cried out of the belly of a fish, and God heard him. Amen. That old big old fish turned course, started sailing up this way, gets him up against some bank somewhere, and vomited him out, spewed him out on the seashore, give him a free ride back. And then the Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Thank God for a God of second chances. Amen. That's another story in itself. But God, he is omnipresent. Proverbs chapter number 15. That's a different. Let's get Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah 23. Should have kept my finger in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Like I said, I'm going slow enough so a man to hand me keep up with me tonight. Where's a man to hand me? Ducking, bobbing, weaving. Where's a man to hand me? She's back there. There she is. Yeah. Preacher, I come to drink from a fountain, and you opened up a fire hydrant. True story. I just wanted to drink from one of the little fountains. You turned a 2.5-inch nozzle on me. Full bore. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Verses number 23. Said, I am... Wait a minute. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Look at verse number 24. I told you about the omnipotence of God, the all-proving, all-self-existing, all-powerful God. But I'm trying to show you that he is everywhere. I'm trying to help us tonight to understand that he's everywhere. Here, verse number 24 said, can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and in earth, saith the Lord? Acts chapter number 17, verse number 24 said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. My friends, God is everywhere. He's not in temples and buildings of plaster and mortar. Brother Tim, he's dwelling in the temples in the hearts of his children today. And how did he do that? He does it through a measure of grace, through faith. Whenever we receive him, Miss Wanda, bless God, we receive him and he moves into the temple in which we are. No, you're not, that your body is the temple of the living God. He's everywhere. He's living in me. He's living in you, Brother Steve. If you're saved by grace, he's in you as well. He said, I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. That verse again says, God that made the world, Acts chapter 17, 24, for those writing it down, Acts 17, 24 said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Tim, he's in here. Praise be to God. Colossians chapter number 1. I told you we had to go a lot of places. How do you preach theology of God? How do you preach the doctrine of God without telling you at least a few of his attributes and qualities? Theology is the study of God. God and logos, meaning theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word or doctrine. So we're studying God tonight. We're on the one that is omnipresent. We're in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Verse number 15 said, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Listen to this and write these down. Or just write down Colossians chapter 1, 15, 16, and 17. The Bible said, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And listen to this. This is where I want to get to, because this is the omnipresence of God. He is before all things, And by him all things consist. Bless God, he is before all things. He is in all things. He is through all things. Bless God, there's nothing made that God didn't have his hand in. People say, well, did God create the devil? Absolutely. He cast him down because of rebellion in heaven. God made him. But yeah, you say, why didn't God just destroy him? Take that up with God. Talk to God about that. I believe it's to let us love God that much more. There is a good and an evil. Man would choose evil rather than good, though. Oh. Verse number 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We're going over now to omniscient. I want you to see this. This is very important tonight. You said, well, what does... You told us the definition of omnipotent, that being almighty, all-powerful, unlimited, without authority, not limited by time, space, or matter. Omnipresent is everywhere at one time, nowhere absent, ubiquitous, universal. There's many words that would tell you what omnipresent means. I like the fact that he's nowhere absent. That was a good one. You could say ubiquitous. I don't even know what that means. How about this one? Nowhere absent. In other words, he's everywhere. That's not hard to understand. We hit the next one. He's called omniscient. Brother Larry, if he is not omniscient, we're in trouble. Because then we could sneak things around. We could usurp authority. We could take credit for stuff that's not ours to take credit for. You said, well, give us the definition, Pastor, of omniscient. Omniscient is possessing all knowledge, full awareness, all seeing, all knowing, with all wisdom. You said, so he's got all knowledge? Yep. And he's got all wisdom? Yep. And he can see everywhere? He's everywhere present, but not, he can not only be there, but he can see there. Yep. And he knows everything. Yep. That's omniscience. So you said, is that in the Bible? Yep. Look with me in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 15, verse number 3. Proverbs 15 and 3. Are y'all still all right? I know y'all get quiet during these teachings, but maybe that's a good thing. I'm not sure. What's that? Okay. I got Laura Byer's approval, so we're all right. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 in verse number 3, tell me this doesn't sound like somebody that's ubiquitous. You said, tell me what? Tell me this doesn't sound like somebody that's all-seeing and all-knowing. Yes, with all knowledge and all wisdom, full awareness, all the verse, all the definitions I gave you, all seeing. The Bible said in 15 and 3 of the book of Proverbs that the eyes of the Lord are just in a few places. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So bless God, if you're doing good, brother, he's going to see that. He's going to know that. And bless God, the only good you've got to offer him, it's not in Gwen Anderson anyway. It's in Christ Jesus, because he is the only righteousness that we've got, because our goodness and our righteousness is filthy as rags before God. But bless God, we can take on his righteousness and he sees that good. Does the Bible not say to let the world see the good that's in you? See your good works and then do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We're going to keep trucking. Just keep writing. Psalms, the book of Psalms, 147. And I'm just barely scratching the surface of this stuff tonight, folks. But hopefully it'll give you an understanding of just maybe a little bit about who God is. 147th division of Psalm. And I'll pick out verse number 5. Great is our Lord. And of great power. And here's that part about all knowing. full of all wisdom and all knowledge. The Bible said his understanding is what? Infinite. Well, preacher, what is infinite? That means it's inexhaustible. It is limitless. It is without end. And brother, I believe that's the way God is. He is endless. I bless God. There is no end to God. Why? Because there's no beginning to God. He has always been. He always will be. He's all powerful. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. And he's everywhere present, nowhere absent. And he is omniscient. He knows everything about us. Good, evil, bad, everything. He knows it all. Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 33. Just flip quickly with me. Romans 11. I don't even have mine pinned up, so you're going when I am. 11 and 33 of the book of Romans. O depth of the riches, both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Brother Chris, did you hear that? Listen to that verse, Brother Larry. That's ubiquitous. That is omniscient tonight. It said, I can't see with my glasses. He says, oh, in verse number 33 of the 11th chapter of Romans, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge. Wouldn't I give you the definition? He says he's got all wisdom and all knowledge. Here it is. Oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Man, that's God. You try to figure God out. The Bible said that his ways are what? They're past finding out. If I pulled up that old Lockridge tape about all the things God, remember that one, Brother Scott? He's this one and he's that. He goes through a whole list about 5 minutes about his indescribable. He describes it for about 5 minutes at the end. He said, he's indescribable. I love that thing. S.M. Lockridge, look him up when you get home on your YouTube. Proverbs chapter number 15, 3, I told you about. It's on the top of that, that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Jeremiah 16, going back to Jeremiah chapter 16. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. We're running late. I preach longer than that, and I usually do. Chapter number 16, verse number 17. It says, mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face. Neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land and have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Going back to verse number 17, said, mine eyes are upon all their ways. That is the omniscience of God, the all-knowing, all-seeing, full awareness of what's going on. They are not hid from my face. You said, preacher, you just barely did scratch the surface tonight. Going back tonight, get with me after the service. If you've got any questions about any of those names, El Shaddai, Adonai, any of those things tonight, and I want to help you with it. I do want to hit one thing I pinned up in here tonight. When you look at God's existence, the assumptions of God throughout history has always been that there is a God. I don't care what people you went to, even the missionaries that have found themselves in backward, that have their own language tribes anywhere in the world. I don't care where you go. They have a spiritual concept. Some of them, you say, well, they're worshiping the moon god. They're worshiping this god and that god. A man is a spiritual being. He has an inner man. We're made up of three. We are a trinity, just like he said. Just like he is body, soul, and spirit. We're a trinity. Just like he's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're a trinity ourselves. And we'll understand that when we get into the doctrine of man. Oh, who is man that thou art mindful of him? We'll get into that doctrine one time and see who we are. It's in there. It's a doctrine we'll study later on. But no matter where you go, people are looking. People are searching. Brother Kenny, there's a God. I don't care where they go, what tribe they go to. They're worshiping. Why? Because that's the way we are. I'm glad that we've got a Jehovah God. And I'm glad that God loved us so much. I wanted to hit this just a couple things really quick. Let me find this little thing right here. May not mean that I'm supposed to give it to you. I thought I had it pinned up. Chris, did you move my thing? Chris said, I want to see that book. Did you move? I don't know where it's at. Okay, we ain't using that. Anyway, Brother Scott, get us a song tonight. Miss Macy, if you'll come down to the piano. Folks, do you